The following podcast contains spoilers for the Series 5 episode of Doctor Who, The Hungry Earth. That's number 8. If you haven't seen it yet, please listen to this podcast a little later when you have. The following podcast is also a little bit longer than its name implies. This time, it's not my fault. Hi, this is Chip. This is the 2-Minute Time Lord podcast, and this is another of our weekly guest reviews from the United Kingdom. This time, it's Laura and Chris Sigma from the Oodcast.
Okay, we've only got 2 minutes.
Why?
Because it's the 2-Minute Time Lord. It's in the name. You do the song, I'll do the review.
We're doing a song?
Of course we're doing a song. We're the Oodcast. It's what we do.
What song shall I do?
I don't know. Something with underground in it. Surprise me.
Okay.
Right. Hi, my name's Chris, and that was my fiancée, Laura. Actually, forget that. That's extraneous information. We're here to review The Hungry Earth, which we've literally just finished watching. It's the 8th episode in Matt Smith's first series of The Doctor, and it's written by Chris Chibnall.
I've done it!
Take me down 21 kilometres underground to the race beneath your feet. Laid out low with a magma glow, an engineering fee.
It's alright, but I reckon you could do better.
Okay.
This series has been eclectic, to say the least. Everything from a pseudo-historical to a dyed-in-the-wool cast-iron gold-starred classic two-parter and that surreal head-scratcher last week. Having worn more hats than its eponymous hero, New Who now turns its attention to another type of tale. It's gonna do classic Doctor Who, with an old monster and a remote village and everything.
I got another one!
It's the sound of the underground. The bits on the drill go round and round. Holes in the floor explode when the girl goes down and the dog's not letting go. Blow the electric light in the sandwich treats and the day to night. The drills go round and round. It's the sound of the under, sound of the underground.
Try again? So here it is, classic Redux. There's a creepy pre-credit sequence set in the village ahead of the TARDIS crew arriving, an unseen threat, a group of scientists and workmen to pick off, perfect setup. But how does the modern series cut its cloth to dress the part of its classic counterpart? For me, it's all down to the way the world is built. So much of what we see are practical effects created in camera, dry ice, prosthetics, props, makeup. It roots it in a kind of reality. It feels earthier somehow. Of course, there's CGI elements to add polish, but for the most part, this is old-school TV, and it looks eye-poppingly gorgeous from all the effort lavished upon it. I love the day-turning-to-night sequence. Stop the cameras, wait until dark, start filming again. Brilliant!
How about this one?
And you wonder where the night guard went, but the reptiles have a new air vent. And going underground, where Silurians and their clans are found. Going underground, we'll let the boys get stung and the girls will get dissected. La 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 la.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'll try again.
Let's talk about the 11th Doctor. He's absolutely amazing, in my opinion. There's this restless energy to him that is absolutely the motor of the show. Always moving, always testing and prodding, picking at the scabs of the universe, fussing over it. I love him. I love the way he gets people's backs up. I love how he never seems comfortable. And then there's that other side to him, that darkness we saw released last week, still boiling away inside. Just look at the way he asks Ambrose to put the weapons down. Calmly, half smiling, as cool and unreadable and dangerous as a cobra about to strike. I got chills, and I love the Doctor's theme played on the deep strings underneath. Back to those weapons for a moment. The Doctor has left the humans with a prisoner and instructions not to kill her. Oh dear. In the past, Chip has referred to the storytelling trope Chekhov's gun, a form of foreshadowing where the dramatist stated that if you put a gun on the wall in Act 1, it needs to have been fired come Act 3, otherwise why bother mentioning it in the first place? I'm sure I'm not the only one who realises that more than likely we've now been introduced to Chekhov's rifle, or Chekhov's taser, or even Chekhov's cricket bat.
Okay, I've got it!
I'm going deeper underground. There's too much drilling in this town. I'm going deeper underground. Too many monkeys in this town. I'm going deeper underground. Got to go deeper, deeper, yeah. Hey, they're gonna kill us all now.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, no, I love it, but we can't play it now. We've run out of time.
Oh, rubbish. Is that it?
No, not quite. I have to say this last sentence and then slow down at the end to allow Chip to fade in the theme music over the top.
New rule for contributors to the 2 Minute Time Lord podcast. Do not display more talent than I have, okay? Man, embarrassing. You can find Chris Sigma and Laura at The Oodcast. The podcast is at theoodcast.com, theoodcast.com. They're also on Twitter, at theoodcast, no punctuation. You can find more episodes of the 2 Minute Time Lord podcast at twominutetimelord.com. I'm also on Twitter or Facebook. Go for Twitter or Facebook.com/numeral2MinuteTimeLord. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you again soon. Man, never let people in who do your job better than you.